Your commitment to development for women and girls is very well known, especially your Patonga Foundation. Why did you choose to be involved with the Affirmative Finance Action for Women in Africa?
I've been working with young girls, children, and women since 2002, since I became UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador. And throughout the year, I've realized that even at the young age, young girls, women are already resilient because they go through so much on a daily basis. And I've been putting young girls to school. And when you finish a cycle and they get to work, there's no financial institution that are ready to get them, give them any help to get there. And I think that the women of Africa are really among those human beings on this planet that make needles move. And the fact that all the banking institutions don't consider women in rural area or in market as client, as potential game changer, is something that strike me. Because here I am spending money, fundraising to put girls to secondary education, tertiary education, and when they finish and they want to start a business, and if they don't have funding, they don't have collateral, they can't do anything. So why we invest in those women if, in the long run, they cannot have a family in which they can participate financially to raise their kids, put meals on the table for their family, and send the children to school and really make a dent in poverty? We only can stop the cycle of poverty by educating, and the continuity of education is financial inclusion.
How does the AFAWA plan to tackle the challenge that women face in order to have access to finance?
Well, AFAWA is an initiative of the African Development Bank, and the first thing that they plan to do is to leverage the FDB, the fund, African fund, to guarantee of the loans, and technical assistance, which will provide advisory service to financial institutions to ensure successful implementation of their product portfolio for women, and strengthen also the relationship with the women in the market, the commercial bank, to form people in the bank to really be at the level of the women of the market, to explain to the women of the market what it is to have how do you do a business plan. They understand money, they can make money, but how do they grow their business? And if they have very small business and they are willing to grow, how they can help them by training people in the bank to do banking differently toward those women. And the third pillar of their power is enabling an environment which will engage with African governments and other key stakeholders to support legal policies and regulatory reform, because we have been still working on the old model that impacts the women, that women don't have the right to choose for their own, they don't have the right to choose what they want to do. We need to change the mentality one, and we need the government in Africa to realize the potential, the financial potential that the women can unleash in the country, and that will reduce poverty.
You mentioned the government, and I'm assuming that the private sector would need to be involved in this, of course, because that is the banking sector. What do they need to do? And then how is AFAWA going to approach the private sector especially? I mean, I think that governments are quite open to AFDB projects, but the private sector has been a stumbling block.
Yeah, the stumbling block because, first of all, it costs more money to manage small loans than big loans, okay? So what we have to do is to convince the private bank and the commercial bank that when they give a loan, there is a guarantee. That's what the G7 fund that has been raised will do, is a guaranteed fund that will guarantee the loan they will give, that they don't have any risk to take. There's no risk for them at all. It's just benefits, because the women will pay back. And if they pay slowly or they don't pay back, they will still get their money. There's no risk for them to take just to start. And I think I can guarantee you that if they come on board to do this and they start seeing how the women are reimbursing, they themselves gonna embrace it totally and find different ways to implement that everywhere. The challenge will be in the rural areas. The rural areas, there's no banking system. But if you start working in cities and we start seeing the success and the profit they are making, them themselves gonna invest in rural area and do the same thing in rural area. Because you know, you lead by example and you lead by result. We won't talk too much. We have to do things. We have to try this to make sure that women are solvable. Women are partners. They don't need help. They don't need aid. They need partnership. They need to be respected. They need to be trusted in their ability to make business, and understanding that investing in their business and working with bank will give them more leverage, more power, and will in return, they create jobs in the community. And those people that the job they are creating, they are potential clients also for the banks.
You speak about all the different factors and the hurdles that women face in the guest column that All Africa ran. I was just wondering how you feel the security situation in some parts of Africa. You know, there's such a lot of interlinking issues on the continent. The security problem, the climate crisis, gender issues. How do they link to each other in terms of getting women to be empowered, if I can use that word, that has been quite overused?
I mean, all you listed is based on what? Is based on poverty. Basically, that's what it is. Poverty is also the bedrock of challenges, of crisis, of war, of all kind of abuse. Because the abuser are the people that they're abusing. So to stop the cycle of poverty, women, when they start creating jobs, the way women, African women think is the way all women think in the world. We cherish and value and protect and love our family. And we want the best for our children, and we even want the best for our husbands. So if they have financial inclusion, they have access to money to create jobs, security will come in. I will tell you one thing that really strikes me in all my trip all around. 10 years ago, we took a trip to go to Chad in the refugee camp of Sudan refugee camp that came to Chad, and we asked to meet some women because we heard that those women that have been raped and find asylum in the camp, when they go out to fetch wood to cook, they get raped again by the same people. So we wanted to go see what it is there, and the women start speaking. Till that, I mean, I tell you, since that moment, my commitment to women is strengthened more. And I lost my ability to sleep as easily because the horror that we put African women through, if we don't have word enough to talk about it and to describe it. But yet, in that defining, profound moment of emotion, of pain, of anger, we were just like, why and how can we find a solution to this? What did the women say to us? They said to us, whatever you do when you leave this place, we want you to lobby for us to go back in our country, in safety and security, and get our business back, to be able to feed our children, to be able to put our girls and boys to school. In this camp, we come to realize that through education, we can stop violence. We don't want to be perceived as victims. Come on, you telling me that a woman whose husband have been killed, children have been, boys have been killed, that is in the camp, is still thinking positively if she has any financial help, she will have a better life? Nothing can stop our conflict if our women are not included financially into our system. That's the only way we can have peaceful countries. That's the only way we can transform completely our continent without having people always telling us, we're going to help you. We are able to help the rest of the world. But to help the rest of the world, we need to empower and lift our women out of poverty. That's the only way we'll stop immigration. We'll stop our children from dying in small boats and smugglers, to cut the business of smuggler, of human being, human trafficking. Everything is based on women inclusion. Because if your mom is thriving, doing good, boys or girl, you want to do better. Women gonna, because through the hurdle that I've been to, they're going to start raising the boys and girls differently. Because they have the means to sit them down and say, today I have access to money and I want to put you to school. And I want you to understand this, that it's not your gender that defines who you are. If you work hard, you can succeed.
So when you say that it's not your gender that defines who you are, I mean, for a lot of women on the continent, it does actually define what they are allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. They're held back specifically because they are women. You sound really passionate, and I'm with you on how strong African women are and how strong women are in general, especially when it comes to overcoming these obstacles. But the patriarchal society that we live in is real, and is financing the key that's going to unlock all of those.
The thing that I always say is that financial is a profound and really big part of the problem, and also education, because I realized since I started my Batonga Foundation that some girls don't just need to go to academic school and learn about history and geometry and all those kind of stuff. That there's different way of education. So we should, and plus the financial inclusion, we should think about our society differently. So far, our education system is copy of the education systems of the Westerners. So our societies are different. For me, training the women to understand how banks function is important. Training women about sanitation is important. Training women about gender issue is important. You don't need to go to school to learn that. Vocational training have to be at the center of our education system in rural area, even in cities. We have to sit men and women down to talk about gender equality. We cannot just do conferences everywhere, talk about gender. I mean, we're talking about gender equality, nothing is changing. How do we come about with solution? By allowing women, because when you are a woman, a mother, and all your effort when you wake up in the morning is how to make end meet. How am I going to finish the day and put a meal on the table? And how am I going to pay my debts? Because microcredit have been putting them so much in debt that the energy, I mean, I've heard from the women of the market, it kills me. They spend so much energy trying to pay their debt, because if they don't pay their debt, they can't sleep. So how can you engage any mother, any woman about gender equality? How can she even see herself as a victim of a society of patriarchy? If she has money, she can put her kids to school, she can sit. You can call her to come to a meeting and she can have a say. She can say what she wants for her life. And men gonna stick with them and listen. Because the thing is, the symptoms of scarcity is what is killing us. Because when you don't have food, when you're poor, all your energy, your brain, your body, everything is toward that. You have a tunnel vision. You don't see what is any issue, doesn't matter, because it's your survival that is in danger. So therefore, we need through financial empowerment to give women the power to say to their boys, to raise their boys differently. Telling the boys, I'm sending you to school, is not because you're more than your sister, but you have equal rights under my roof. But if your being every day you wake up is to struggle, you can have, even if you know deep down in your soul that's what you have to do, you don't have time to be doing that. Because you want your boy to eat, you want your child to eat, some of the women in the market in my country saying, some of our job, our husband lose their job. That becomes another hurdle on our shoulder. Not only we have to find money to feed our kids, we have to feed our husbands too. So everything just falls on the shoulder of the women. Every issue we're talking about, if women can sit down and breathe, knowing that if they start a business, they will have the help of a bank as a partner, and they can sit down with those banks and decide how long the loan gonna be, how much they're gonna pay, and if they can't pay at that rate, they can come back and sit with the bank and say, well, I cannot do much that. And the flexibility of the bank to work with the women. That's the thing if we do this within 10 years, we won't be talking about gender equality as it is anymore. And violence against women gonna decrease too. Because the frustration of a man that has no job. I mean, men in our patriarchal world we live in, men is the one that have to bring the bread to the table. Now let's change the narrative a little bit. As my grandmother used to say to me, don't be a weight on the shoulder of a man. Being married to somebody is a partnership. Mm-hmm. Bring yours on the table. Your first husband has to be your job. When my mother's mother was telling me that, I did not understand the scope of stuff that she was telling me. Because she said, look at us. Look at me when I become a widow of your grandpa. And I refused to marry the closest kin to your grandpa's family. I was left alone to find for myself and my child. And I have to work. If my sister didn't accept to give me a place in her house, where will I be?
So it's really struck me what you said about partnership, because I think that's hopefully a power will move towards women having partnerships with banks rather than it being a top-down.
That's what I'm bringing to the table, because top-down don't work, because if you don't respect those women, the thing is, I'm talking from a point of informed. I mean, I come from a family where I have two grandmothers that were widowed very early, and they have the same fate. The mother of my father, the same thing. Because she never been to school, she doesn't know how to read or write, but she understands money. My father convinced her at one point to open a bank account. So she said, okay, I will do it. And then after a year, she closed the bank account without telling my father. She said, I don't want to be bothered with that. And when my father found out, my father asked her, why did you do that? She said, when I open my bank account, I have red carpet. When I come to take money out and invest my money differently, I'm treated like a thief. I'm treated like nobody. Therefore, my money stayed with me. The lesson of that, she left the bank, and in her closet, she stacked the money in there. When she died, all the money was eaten by moth. And then you go, what a waste, the whole life of a person. Because there's no trust with the bank, she lost everything. You know my passion about this. One thing that I want people to realize on the continent is that I'm doing this, I'm not paid, and I'm not taking the money, and I don't want that. Because I want the women of Africa to succeed. I want my continent to be seen differently. I want us Africans to tell our story. I want all our tech to succeed. We can invent a lot of things to move forward, to change our society. That change is not that far. So we need the bank to be partners. If they want to be stronger bank, if they want to compete on the level of the world, not just taking money from other people, but lending money to the rest of the world, not selling our lands and our wealth and our resources to some happy few. We need to keep our resources for the future generation. But therefore, we need to empower our women. We need to empower every child, every boy, every girl from Africa to be proud of their country, to be proud of their continent, to be proud of what they stand for, their culture, because we have impacted this world culturally in many different ways, and we don't take credit for it. And where I'm sitting, I see it every day. That has been my fight throughout my career, to tell the story of the African people positively, not the show story that people tell about how bad Africa is. Africa is bad, that means the whole world is bad.
Yes. So my colleagues would probably not forgive me if I didn't ask about, because I know that you've been nominated for a Grammy again this year in the world music category. And I know that you have some thoughts about world music as a category as well.
Well, I think that we have to, it's just the human nature to put labels on things. And I think that we have to evolve out of that and give credit to the people that they can understand and choose what they want to do without somebody putting a label on anything. So that's what the world music category comes from for me. I mean, if we African musicians, we are world artists. What are the other artists? Where they come from? Which planet did they come from? That's the question I have. And the thing about the Grammys is that they are open enough to welcome every music. They represent really the music of all this world. There are categories probably that are not there, but they are trying the best to be an academy that represents every culture. And I am very grateful for that. And this year, the category is packed with talented people, which is a good thing for me to be in those in nominated next to all those talented young musicians and all. I mean, it's always an honor to be nominated for the Grammy. And let's see what comes out. We Africans are at a defining moment where our story needs to be told by us and differently. And this young generation of musicians, they are doing it. So I'm very proud to be next to those musicians today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. I got the special energized version.
Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it 100%.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your patience, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.